Here, we've been doing a series of messages through the book of Acts, kind of the first few years of the early church. And here's what we're talking about right now in this little part of the series is we're talking about, like, what does it really mean to be a Holy Spirit-led community? So the church, the people of God, are actually meant to be not only represent Jesus on the earth today, we're called the body of Christ, but we're actually meant to be led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would put out there that, like, the most important thing about being a follower of Jesus, like, the most important skill you can develop, the most important part of being a follower of Jesus is learning to hear God's voice. Learning to hear God's voice. Like, learning to hear what he says. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. We're going to be looking at a passage out of Acts 16, the first 10 verses. And what we're going to be looking at is how the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul and his group in terms of what they were doing and planting churches and actually bringing the gospel around. I don't think there's anything more crucial in your life as a follower of Jesus than hearing God's voice. In fact, hearing God's voice was really part of the central prayer of Judaism. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, listen, O Israel, there's one God. In the midst of an incredibly polytheistic culture, many gods being worshipped, God, Yahweh, speaks to his people, speaks to Israel, and says, I want you to hear this. There is only one God. There is one. And over again, we see that it's God's heart in the scriptures that we hear his voice. So another good example is Psalm 81. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you if you would but listen to me. It goes on, but my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. Hearing God is really important for how we live our lives. In fact, Jesus talks about it. If you go to John chapter 10, Jesus has this really cool moment with his disciples where he's describing himself as the good shepherd. He describes himself as a relationship with, and we'll talk about it more in just a few minutes, but he describes his relationship with his disciples as God's relationship with us as that of a Palestinian shepherd with his sheep. And he talks about hearing his voice in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5, in verse 14, in verse 16, and in verse 27. Like, in that chapter, he just hits that thing over and over and over again. In fact, I think hearing God's voice is like the key question of discipleship. It's the key question. If you want to help somebody grow as a follower of Jesus, there's like two questions that you can work with, and it will take like your whole life. You can work with them all the time. The first question is this: what's God been saying to you lately? What's God been saying to you lately? As you're starting to like interact with somebody who might be new to following Jesus, they might say, well, how does God speak? And we're going to talk about that. Like, how does God speak? And how do we hear his voice? It opens up lots of great questions that come with that. So that's the first one. What's God been saying to you lately? And then the second question is, so what are you going to do about that? Right? One of my mentors, Steve Nicholson, used to say this: the heart and soul of the Christian life. Like, if you just boil this thing down, it comes down to two things: learning to hear God's voice and then developing the courage to do what he tells you to do. It's like, this is meant to be a relationship. It's not just dusty, dry study in books. And I love dusty, dry study in books, by the way. It smells wonderful. It's like one of my love languages, dust, when you open up a book and it's like, ah, I love this. Right? But it's meant to be this relationship with God where he's speaking to us, we're hearing him, and we're doing something about that. And so I don't think there's anything more like relevant in your life and my life than hearing God's voice. You know, when we're coming out of high school and into college, we're often making decisions about what kind of career to have and who to spend life with and you know, where to live, where to buy a house. We're asking those kinds of questions. I don't know about you, but those kinds of questions like shape your whole life. They like put like a shape on everything that you're going to be doing. I would want to know what God thinks about those. And it's not just early on in life, but it's as you start raising children. Like, anybody ever tried raising kids? Like, dude, I want to know what God thinks about that. Like, and then you get to like middle parts of life. You know, and you're beginning to think about, or maybe you get to a stages of retirement where you're thinking about, hey, you know what? I don't have to do this career forever. What do I want to do next? What's going on? Do I just want to live somewhere sunny and play golf every day until I die? Or do I want more out of life? For those of you that love golf, bless you. There's more to it than that, right? And it's like, I want to hear God's voice in those things in my life. And I'm sure you do too. So here's what we're going to look at. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 1. It's on page 771. If you want to grab one of those little Bibles on the rack of the chair there in front of you, or do like I do and flip through it on your phone. I have a great app that I love. There's a couple of them. YouVersion is a great app, and Logos is a great app that I use on my phone and read the Bible on there all the time as well. And we're going to read through that passage. Let me pray, and then I'll read that, and we'll unpack a few things. So, Lord, we do want to hear your voice even today. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you do the work of making us soft towards you, soft towards your voice, so that we can hear what you're up to? Would you help us, as we were singing earlier, be receptive to you? And then, Lord, would you speak to us today about the big stuff and also about all the little stuff, all the stuff that's important to us? I ask that you'd speak to us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 1, it reads like this. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of all the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. But when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right, so here's my big question. If God is speaking, if God desires to speak to you, do you want to hear him? Like, think about it for a second. That's a legitimate question. If God is speaking, do you want to hear him? Do you even care what he has to say? Some of us might say, no. Actually, thanks for asking. I don't want to hear him. Like, if we're honest, some of us might say that. And I get why we would say that. I get sometimes the fear that comes behind that no. That I'm afraid of what God might ask me to do. I'm afraid of what he might tell me. Like, it's been going okay for however many years it's been going, and I'd kind of like it just like, I don't want to disturb anything. Like, could we just keep it going? I understand that. But here's my goal today in my little talk is to help that no move towards a yes. Because I don't think there's anything more vital and important in our lives than hearing God's voice. And for some of you, you might say, yeah, I think I would like to hear God. How does that work? How do I hear that? Well, I think there's some really clear pointers out of this passage that point us towards that. And so if you want to cultivate, if you want to develop a willingness and an ability to listen to God, to hear God's voice, here's the first point. People hear from God when they're willing to listen to him about current issues of obedience. We hear from God when we're willing to listen to him about current issues in our lives where we're supposed to be obedient to God. So at the beginning of this passage, we read about a woman, Timothy's mother, who was Jewish, but at some point in her life, she'd become a believer. She'd become a Christian. And she had married a Greek man, right? So about eight times in the Old Testament, and at least a couple times in the New Testament, God is quite clear about not marrying outside of Judaism. For a Jewish person, you don't marry outside of that. You don't marry a Greek person. Like, you don't do that. And in the New Testament, it talks about not marrying somebody who's not a follower of Jesus. And for some reason in her life, maybe she got married before she became a Christian, whatever the thing happens to be, you might say, well, maybe she didn't know that in the Bible, except that she raised Timothy to know the Bible, right? At some point in her life, she just decided, you know what? I understand what God says about this. I'm just going to go my own way. She did that at some point in her life. And here's the deal. I think lots of us do that in our lives. I think there's lots of times where we might read something in the scripture. We might see something in the Bible, and we might think, yeah, I know God said that, but that was like how many years ago? It's like, I'm just going to do my own thing because I think I know better. I think I know what I should be doing, right? In fact, we come across that, quite honestly. Our very first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden, they did the very same thing. God instructed them, hey, you know what? You are free to enjoy everything I've created. You're free to be fruitful and multiply. You're free to like eat of all this stuff. You're free to like even like give names to all the animals, to like put order to this whole deal. There's just one tree I want you to stay away from. Just one. And what's interesting, what happened to them and what happens to you and I, is this, let me call it a snake-like suspicion enters in. I wonder if God is withholding something really good from me. I wonder if the one thing God told me not to do might be the best thing that there is, and he just doesn't want me to have fun. And so we go our own way. We say, God, I'll take it from here. Thanks for making me. I'm good now. Right? We go our own way. And the messes that we create in our lives, and honestly, the messes we've created on our planet and in all of our relationships, all stem from that. We want to do our own thing. We think we know better than God for how this is supposed to work. One of the first things we have to come to, if we want to change that, is a commitment of faith that even God's most restrictive commands, and this one seems pretty restrictive, is actually designed for our good. Because God is good, and his will for our lives is good, even if we don't understand it. Even if we don't get it, it's good. So for example, why would God speak to people in the scriptures about marriage in this way? Well, maybe it's because his purpose for us and our spouse is that we become actually something more than two humans that share the same space and the same bank account. Maybe his purpose for us is that we actually become, to use a movie word, soulmates. That we're joined together at some really deep level. What if God wants two people who are very different to be joined together in their spirit in a way that they can really share the deepest kind of intimacy possible, a reflection of God himself, Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? What if that's what God wants to do? It's this kind of intimate, spiritual interdependence that you can only enjoy with someone who also has the Spirit of God. And anybody who's ever gone against this will tell you that it is really hard. It's really hard to try to be married to somebody who is totally different than you, than building a house off of a different set of plans. It's hard to do that. And it's hard to not be connected in that same kind of a way. Maybe that's what God's doing. Maybe that's the reason he gives that kind of command. There's this aching desire that we have to share the deepest part of our lives with one another. And so if you want to hear God's voice, here's a great question to start with. Are you and I giving God full obedience in our lives right now? Like right now in our lives, is there anything that God might be putting his finger on saying, here's an area where you're just walking away from me? And what I've discovered, if I want to hear God's voice, I immediately turn around from those things when God puts his finger on something. I immediately just go, okay, Lord, you win. I want to hear your voice. That's what I want. And so I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from that and turn towards you. Right? That's number one. It's not like you can't have a relationship with somebody where you're saying, I'm going to ignore what you're saying over here, but would you tell me something I really care about over here? It's like, no, relationships don't work that way. Like, I can't walk out, kick my neighbor's dog, and then go ask for a cup of cream or sugar. Right? My neighbor's going to go, no, I'm not going to give you. You just beat the snot out of my dog, right? Do you understand? I would never do that. I love my neighbor's dog. Scout's wonderful. He always leaves me a gift, too, like, you know, in the yard. It's really cool. No, I really do like him. You know, so for example, like, what might God be putting his finger on in your life? For some of us, I think God's putting his finger on the issue of forgiveness. Forgiveness is like a really big deal to God in the scriptures. One of the last, I think it's the last word that Jesus said hanging on the cross was, Father, forgive them. The Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's like he teaches us this thing over and over. So ask ourselves the question, is there anyone in our past whom we haven't forgiven? Anyone who's hurt us? Anyone who's abused us? Anyone who's broken a promise to us? Maybe even a marriage vow? Anyone who stole something from you? Any leader who offended you that you're still bitter about? Jesus says that we can forgive, that we're to release that person to God. For some of us, it might not be forgiveness. For some of us, it might be like our speech. You know, you won't be a follower of Jesus for very long before God starts to address what comes out of your mouth. Right? He's done this with me multiple times in 40 years of following Jesus, right? Maybe he's going to begin to address what we talk about, who we are. Some of us are complainers. We're whiners. We walk into a room and the atmosphere of the room immediately gets more chilly, and it's not just because you live in Duluth. It's because what you're talking about. Others of us, it's easy for you to say, feel like, you know, maybe we have a spiritual gift where we just need to tell everybody what's wrong about everybody else. Like we're the CNN of the body of Christ or something, right? That we just need to let everybody know what's wrong with everybody else. At some point, God's going to address that. He's going to, maybe he's doing that now, right? If you're going to ask God to reveal his heart to you, mind to you, if you're asking God to speak to you, you have to be willing to give him full obedience in your life. Jesus says the same kind of thing to his disciples in John 14, really intimate moment with his disciples. He said, if anyone loves me, anyone who loves me, will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. There's intimacy. There's relationship there. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. The words you hear aren't my own. They came from God. And Jesus says that about himself over and over. Then he goes on in the next little bit to say that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, he's actually going to help reveal all this stuff. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to show us where we're not being obedient to God so that we can repent. So if you want to hear God's voice, number one, and it's a big one, it's like, give God full obedience in your life now. The moment he points something out, like you do something about it, you begin to turn back towards him. Secondly, if people who hear from God, they take time to listen to God. If we want to hear God's voice, then we have to take time to listen to him, right? Here's some geographical background. Paul's going through what we would know as the modern nation of Turkey. And when it says in the scripture that Paul was kept from going to Asia, it's not speaking of the continent of Asia as we would know it today. It's speaking of this province in the Roman Empire that was known as Asia, again, a part of Turkey today. So Paul is traveling kind of north and west, and what he wants to go is southwest to the largest city in the area. Paul is probably thinking strategically about planting churches, and so he's aimed at Ephesus. And we know that a few years later, he actually does make it to Ephesus, but somehow the Holy Spirit is preventing them from going. And it doesn't tell us in the scripture what the experience that Paul had that he attributed to the Holy Spirit. It could have been a number of things. It could have been a prophetic word. It could have been this deep inner impression that God was saying, don't fly southwest. That was a joke. We don't know. We don't know what the thing was, but we do know that Paul knew it was God. And so then what he does is he sets his sights on the next biggest city, the next biggest city that's out there, right? And he wants to go to the northeast, and that's Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus, it says, would not allow him to do that. And then God finally speaks to him in a dream about going, continuing to go north and then going west and ending up in Philippi. So all that to say, it's very evident that Paul made time in his life to actually hear God. Somehow in his life, he was actually setting aside time to listen to God about this. And God is infinitely creative in the way that he speaks. But here's the deal, practically for you and I, sometimes our lives are so full that we don't have time to listen to God. I mean, everywhere we turn, we got a screen. We got communication coming in. You know, we got, a few thousand apps where we can talk to people. And it's constantly like bombarding us. And we never get time to listen. It would be similar to me going home at night and, or whenever it is, and saying, "Hey, Brenda, tell me how your day went." And then just walking out of the room. How long would she keep telling me about her day? Not very long. We say, "God, I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me." "All right, that was long enough. Where's my phone?" Do you know what I mean? That we have to make time to listen to him if we actually want to hear his voice. Do we even take 5 or 10 minutes a day? 5 or 10 minutes just to listen to God. And then when we do spend time with God, when we do start to pray, we do all the talking. And we're just listing everything out. In a relationship, it's good to do some talking, but it's really good to do some listening. So how do you listen to God? Here's a couple pointers. I would suggest one of the things that people have done for centuries is they spend a little time journaling. And since I work a lot on computers, when I journal, I like to do it with like an old school pen. Maybe you've seen those. I go really old school. It's a fountain pen. You have to stick it and fill it up, right? Because I think it's cool. It makes me slow down. And it runs out of ink all the time. I love it. And you got to stick it back in there and fill it back up again. I'm a nerd. And then I get a journal. And here's a way to start. Just put at the top of your journal page, just put one word, yesterday. Yesterday. Some of us don't ever spend time thinking, like, what happened yesterday? And I like to ask God just a series of questions. "Lord, is there anything you want to talk to me about yesterday?" And I've discovered over the years that he always points out something in this one category, people I need to apologize to. So if you're in that category, I'm sorry. There, done. Whew. I won't have to do that tomorrow. At least with all y'all. It's going to be somebody else, I'm sure. Right? And then begin to think through, is there anything that God was speaking to me that I just kind of ignored yesterday? Is there anything he was dialing up? Just put yesterday. And then you don't have to write paragraphs. You don't have to write a book, but just a few bullet points. And then on the top of the next page, put today. And just do this for a couple minutes at the beginning of the day. "Lord, what are you up to today? God, I want to be involved in what you're doing today." And so sometimes what I do is I just open up my calendar on my phone and I just look through and pray through some of my appointments and the people I'm going to be meeting with. And I'm constantly amazed that God loves all of us enough that he'll begin to speak to me about people I'm meeting with and something that's going on. Does that make sense? It's like really easy. If you want to learn some more, there's a couple books that I think are really, really good that I'm going to mention here. Ruth Haley Barton has a great book called Silence and Solitude. Just skip through that slide. Get to the books, please. That's really, really good. She's also got a book called Sacred Rhythms. John Ortberg wrote a book I really like called Soul Keeping, where he talks about, where they all are talking about different ways to just kind of connect with what God's doing and speaking to you. And I have discovered that being alone and being silent are really big parts of that. One of the things that I'll often practice when I feel like maybe God's a long ways away or I'm not, you know, things or the communication line is messed up, is I love to practice fasting. I've noticed from a whole bunch of us that we're doing social media fasts, you know, during the summer. I love it. People will just post on Facebook or Instagram, "I'm doing a fast from this for the next 2 weeks. If you want me, call me or text me." I don't have their number. I'm like, "Okay, bye. It's been good. Can't wait to see all the pictures that you're going to post when you get back from this. It'll be fun. I thought we were friends. Bye." Right? And so that's actually not a bad thing to do. I'm making fun, but that's a good thing to do. One of the biblical activities of fasting that I have found incredibly helpful is actually fasting from food. That's the thing that's mentioned the most in the scriptures, fasting from food. Do you know why we'd rather fast from social media than food? Because we love food, right? We love it. It's wonderful. But here's the interesting deal. When you fast from food and the hunger comes up, if there's medical reasons you shouldn't fast, don't. But if you fast from food and the hunger comes up, it's a great like automatic reminder. It's like an internal alarm clock that says you're fasting from this because you want to hear from God. Pray and listen. And it just kind of comes up in my stomach all the time. Pray, listen. And if you never fasted much, here's a great way to do it. You're going through life normally, eat a normal lunch. Don't pig out, just eat a normal lunch and then skip dinner, midnight snack, and breakfast, and then have another normal lunch. It's like an easy way to begin. It's like a 24-hour fast, easy way to begin. And I would recommend, like, do that once a week. Pick a day and do that once a week. And you don't have to announce it on social media. I'm not eating. It's like, good for you. Right? You don't have to announce it. Just do it. And every time you feel a little bit hungry, say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And you'll find that, you know, breakfast, you'll say that a lot. Lord, I want to hear your voice, right? Right? So, okay. People also hear from God as they first get to know what God sounds like. Verse 7. How did Paul know that it was the Holy Spirit that's keeping him from going to Ephesus, going to Asia, and not some demonic spirit? How did he know that? People often say, well, I'm experiencing a closed door right now, but I know that God wants me to have this thing, and I'm going to bust through that door. Well, how do you know it's God that's keeping you from that? How do you know it's not God that's keeping you from that? How do you know it was a voice of God rather than an angel of light, a demonic imposter? You know, lots of people I've met over the years are afraid of prophecy and dreams and visions because they're not sure they would know how it was from God. But Paul knew what the Lord's voice sounded like. He was so acquainted with his voice that he knew it for sure. Let me give you an example. I'm 59 years old. Brenda and I have been married for going on 32 years. I know what Brenda's voice sounds like. I know how she thinks. Like, I know her voice so well, she doesn't always even have to open her mouth to communicate to me. We can be in a group of people, and she can just give me a look, and I know that I'm in trouble. I just know it, right? We could be out on a date, we could be doing something, and I can tell by the way she's acting that she actually needs to reach out, pause for a moment, reach out to the kids, or reach out to a friend who she's concerned about before we can go on with our other conversation. Like, I know that. In fact, I can tell within 99.9999% whether or not something that somebody else is telling me Brenda said is actually Brenda. Like, I know Brenda. That works really well with the children when they're younger. It works really well in the church. Like, I know whether or not Brenda said something. Like, I can tell. I can be pretty certain. Paul felt the exact same way about Jesus. He knew the kinds of things that God would be telling him were really God. We can be in a relationship with Jesus enough to know who is talking to us. Is it God? Is it Satan? Like, we can actually know that. And then verse 6 mentions is the Holy Spirit who kept them from going to Asia to preach. And in verse 7, it says the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go in. People have asked me, so is the Holy Spirit different than the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus and then sometimes just the Spirit? No, it's all the same thing. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks, when the Spirit speaks, when the Spirit of God speaks, when the Spirit of Jesus speaks to you, like, he's communicating the exact same thing that Jesus in the scriptures communicates and that Father God communicates. It's all the same stuff, right? So when somebody comes to me with a prophecy that the whole church needs to run around the parking lot 3 times or God will strike us dead, I can say, no, that's pretty much not God. Like, I know God's voice. That's not the kind of things that he says, right? God's not going to appeal to your pride or to your materialism to try to get you. He's not going to lead you to a seminar where you can make $1 million in 24 hours. Like, that's not God who's doing that, right? It's generally not God who's speaking to pastors about getting jets. That's generally not God, Right? That's not the way he works. As we listen to the scriptures, we can get to know his voice. God doesn't appeal to our selfish ambition. God doesn't tell us that you're the only person I like. This is the only church I like. He doesn't do that. He speaks truth to us, but he speaks truth in a way that's full of grace. Here's the point from this. God's voice is always consistent, and we discern together in community what God is saying. So when they get to that end of that passage, I love it because this is the first time in the Gospel of Luke, in the book of Acts written by Luke, it's the very first time that it goes from here's what they were doing to here's what we did. Did you catch that in the text? Here's what we did. Now Luke is a part of this team. I don't know where exactly he got involved. Maybe it was Troas, but now Luke's a part of this team. At the very end, he says, we discern together that Jesus would not have us go this way. And then when Paul saw the vision, we discerned together that we were supposed to go to Macedonia, right? It's supposed to discern in the midst of community. So you want to get to know God's voice. Here's a couple things. You spend tons and tons of time reading your Bible. Like you read the scriptures. What did God say throughout the Old Testament? How did he work? And when it feels confusing, get together in community and say, help me reconcile this with Jesus. And help me reconcile this and Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Because it's all like one story that's all interconnected. You don't get to pick and choose from it. And so you read the scriptures, and then in community, we discern together. So when I feel like God's leading me to do something, either with my family or with the church, the way I do it is I say, hey guys, I've been praying a bunch, and here's something I feel like God is saying, and I just kind of present it open-handedly. I don't feel like I have to force anyone to think the way I think about this. Because here's the deal. If this is really God, he's big enough to speak to all y'all. And people will say, well, what if my spouse isn't listening? I'd say, well, you have a really small God. Because he spoke to a donkey. I think he can speak to your spouse. And the donkey was called something else, which is sometimes what you call your spouse. Am I right? If God can do that, he can do that. And so it's not about how well they're listening. If God really wants to do something, he's good at doing it, right? And so he can speak to us in the midst of that. I have great stories about that with me and Brenda. But we never called each other a donkey. Okay, people hear from God also when they have the confidence that God's committed to speak to them. Verse 10. I love all the creative ways that God speaks to Paul in this passage. Somehow he restrains him in verse 6 from going one direction. And then possibly, maybe there's this vision of Jesus saying, don't go to this next place in verse 7. And then there's this vision of a man from Macedonia in verse 9. And then in verse 10, there's this discernment with his companions. This is a very liberating thought. Like if you've asking for God for his voice, you're not going to miss it. If you're asking for God to speak to you, you're not going to miss it. That he is more committed to speak to you than you and I often are to listen to him. He's way more committed to do that. And so like we can count on him for that. The reason that I have confidence that I'm not going to miss God's will for my life isn't because I'm such a good finder of God's will. It's because he's so good at revealing himself. The reason that I have confidence that myself and us as a leadership team can lead the vineyard well isn't because I'm such a good leader, it's because God's a good leader. And he has often, many, many times, spoken to us very directly about what to do and what not to do, right? God is so committed to lead that anyone who will say, God, I really want to know what your will for my life is, you'll discover it. God's really good at showing it to us. You stay in the scriptures and you stay with other people who are following God. It's not like he's playing some kind of cosmic shell game with us. And here's one of the reasons I'm so confident of this. The way that Jesus talks about himself in John chapter 10. I started here about the good shepherd. He compares himself to a Palestinian shepherd, and he is saying, I'm as committed to lead my people, the church, as a Palestinian shepherd is committed to lead his or her sheep. No shepherd races out in front of the sheep, gets way out there in front, goes, come on, you stupid sheep, get your wool over here, you know? Nobody does that. I like the wool part. Did you guys get that? I made that up. Like, come on, that was good. All right? And so nobody does that. No shepherd goes, hey, I'm going to wear camouflage and sneak around, and you're going to have to try to find me. And if you don't, you'll die. Shepherds aren't like that, right? Jesus says he's a good shepherd. A good shepherd would do anything short of killing the sheep to keep them following him. In fact, they carried a sling and some stones, and they would not only use that sling to fight off predators, like David did so well with Goliath, but they would use it to correct the sheep. If a sheep was wandering off, the shepherd would take it and fling it, go right past their nose, just right past their nose, sometimes just nick their nose. And the sheep would go, oh, wait, stop. Find the shepherd and start to follow him again. Honestly, I think God's voice, God does that with us a lot. He flings a rock right past our noses to get us to turn back to him. And it could be a rock of pain. It could be a rock of heartbreak. It could be a rock of, I don't know, some medical diagnosis. It could be a rock of a broken heart. Like, God flings some stones right past us to get us our attention. It could be confrontation. Maybe this feels a little confrontive right now, right? It could be some disappointment. It gets us startled, and we get back on the path. Listen, if you incline your heart to hear God's voice, you're going to hear it. And then lastly, you can have confidence you've heard from God, even though you're currently experiencing difficulty. So I notice lots of folks do is they feel like God's leading them something, and it gets difficult, and they're like, well, I must have heard wrong, because I know God doesn't want me to have any difficulty in life, right? Doesn't it say that in the Bible? You'll have no difficulty ever. Oh, no, wait, it says the opposite. It says, Jesus says, in this world, John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. He says just the opposite. And so think about what happened to the Apostle Paul. God said, don't go to Ephesus yet. He said, don't go to Bithynia, don't go up there. But I want you to go this way, and he ends up in Philippi. Brenda's going to be preaching this message next week, but let me just give you a brief overview of what happens when he first gets to Philippi. Paul and his entourage get there. There's no synagogue for them. That's where they would usually go and begin to lead people to Christ and begin to talk about this. There's no synagogue. So he ends up finding the only place where a few people are gathered is down by the river, and there's a few women down there. And so he begins right there is where he begins. And then there's the couple guys that, or I don't know how many of them are, but a few guys kind of own a gal. There's a problem with that. They own her, right? And she can actually like foretell things. She sees the future. And so she's following Paul and his entourage around all day long, just harassing them verbally. He finally gets so frustrated that he turns around and casts the demon out. So she can no longer foretell. Her owners get so mad that they have Paul arrested. He's beaten with rods, stripped naked with, you know, and beaten within an inch of his life and then thrown in jail. Do you think at any point along there, Paul's like, do you think it was Jesus that led us here? That vision we had, the guy from Macedonia, was that like a real thing? It obviously wasn't God because life got hard. No, it obviously was God. There ended up being this really cool church planted in Philippi over the time. Paul didn't even get to stay there that long because of all the persecution, but a really cool church was started there. Here's the deal. Don't doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. If God is leading, if you're walking in the light, if you're walking, trying to stay close to Christ, and God's leading you a direction, you go that direction, and then all of a sudden the marriage gets hard, realize, oh, this is normal. This is normal. My life isn't supposed to be just from Cadillac to comfort. Like, I'm following Jesus who died bloody and naked on the cross. He gave himself in self-sacrificial love for you and I so that we could have a relationship with his Father. That's the guy we're following. Does that make sense? And so don't doubt when things get really hard. You're trying to follow God. You're making decisions and it gets difficult. You did that in community, in relationship, and now it's difficult. It's amazing how often we pray for a job. We pray and we get this job and we feel like this is the answer to prayer. And then about 3 weeks later, it's the job from hell. It's amazing how often that happens. And what if it's just God really trying to teach us some stuff? What if the job's not from hell? What if it's difficult to help us grow? Am I making sense? Sweet. You guys still with me? Have I offended everybody yet? I'm sorry. That'll be my thing tomorrow, right? I'm sorry. All right, so here's what I want to do. We've done a lot of talking about it. I want to ask you to commit yourself to hearing God's voice. And for some of us, that means there's issues of current obedience. For some of us, that means we need to make time. For some of us, that means that we need to actually press in and learn what God's voice sounds like. For some of us, you have really been trying to follow Jesus and life has gotten really incredibly difficult. Now comes the fun part of a vineyard event where we pray for one another. And so I'm going to invite you guys to stand up and I'm going to begin praying for us. And I'm going to invite us to come down front with the ministry team here in just a second to actually personally receive prayer. Because again, I've hit this several times today, but we are the body of Christ. We are really meant to come and stand and pray with one another. And so as I'm praying and as God's putting his finger on something, God puts his finger on something, I want you just to get out from where you are and come down here and either give or receive prayer. If you're on the ministry team, you can give prayer. If you feel like you have a word for somebody, you can come alongside somebody who's on the ministry team and practice doing that. Right? And then receive prayer. We want to pray with you for whatever God's doing. All right, so let's pray and get this started. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your incredible love for us and the mercy you give us, extend to us so that we can continue to hear your voice. We just say thank you, Father. For some of us, we've never actually even made a commitment to follow Jesus. We've been asking God to hear his voice, but we didn't realize Jesus was right at the center. If that's you, would you come forward and just say, that's me, to somebody on the ministry team, so they can actually introduce you to Jesus and just kind of, I don't know, get you connected spiritually to what God is doing so that you can hear his voice. And for others of us, God's addressing issues of obedience. If that's you, come on forward. We could all probably be in that camp where God's addressing something in our lives that he wants to bring healing to so that we can hear his voice. You can't live a duplicitous life with God where you're saying one thing about this area, but you really want to hear him in another area. It just doesn't work that way in any relationship. And so as he's putting his finger on something, come up and confess that and get some prayer. It's really powerful. If you're struggling with hearing God's voice and you want to hear his voice more, come on up here right now. It's from wherever you're at. Make your way up here. Like right now. Come on up. I want to hear more of the voice of God. Lord Jesus, would you make us soft to you? Would you give us a heart, a desire to really want to know what you think? And for those of us that are even still afraid of hearing God's voice, Holy Spirit, would you give us just a willingness to trust that you know best? Just to take the first few steps of trust. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. All right, so come on up and get some prayer. These guys are going to lead us in worship for a while. And we'll hang out. We'll pray for you like as long as it takes. Other than that, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard today. And have a great rest of your weekend.